church's story, bring her but to glorious plow.
We bring you now The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of the Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2310 East 4th Street in Duluth. Now here's the minister, Dr. Royal F. Shepherd, Jr.
A saying has been around for the last few years that worries me. I wonder if it worries you. Christmas is for the children. Now you may ask, what's wrong with that? Isn't it the children who get the most fun out of Christmas? Maybe so. But the saying worries me anyway. Right now, our Pilgrim Choir will sing Two Shepherds as They Watched. And then after that, I'll speak to this matter of Christmas being for the children.
Two shepherds as they watched by night, a field of host of angels bright, behold the tender babe they said, in yonder lowly manger lay. At Bethlehem in David's town, as like a babe of old made known, 'tis Jesus Christ, your Lord and King, who doth to us a salvation bring. Oh, then rejoice that through His Son God is to sinners now at one, made like yourselves of flesh and blood. Your brother is the eternal God.
Welcome to The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of Pilgrim Congregational Church. I'm Royal Shepherd, and our choir director is Ray Baker. As our scripture lesson, I have chosen the first six verses of the 18th chapter of Matthew. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened round his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Christmas is for the children. I don't like that saying. I don't like it because it seems to leave out that growing majority of the world's population who don't happen to be children anymore. I don't like it because it suggests that this central event in the unfolding of our common human history is something purely childish, infantile. I don't like it because it makes the Mass of Christ, Christmas, the celebration, the worshipful celebration of Christ's coming, into a matter of fun and games for the kiddies. I don't like it because there hangs about this saying the odor of a childish culture in which childhood rather than grown-upness is seen as the goal of life. For all these reasons, I recoil from this contemporary slogan. And yet today, I shall accept the slogan at face value, and I'll try to build on it in a positive way. Let me try to state four reasons why I can agree with the statement that Christmas is for the children. The first reason is that the wonder of Christmas should always appeal to the child that remains in us all. Many people hold, I think, a false notion of adulthood. They think that growing up means that the child in themselves becomes extinct. But I don't think that is so. Now, we may abuse that child within us or try to ignore that child or hold it down, but I think that child is still there. Becoming an adult is not so much a matter of subtracting as of adding. It means that we become something more than a child, not something less. Now, I would say that the person who does not enjoy riding on a merry-go-round is not something more than a child, he's something less. The person who does not delight in a lighted Christmas tree is not something more than a child, he is something less. The person who does not instinctively turn a mama doll upside down to make her cry, or to make an electric train go too fast through the tunnel, or to roll on the floor with the new puppy, that person is something less than a child. But an adult, I say, is something more. An adult retains those childlike qualities that respond to the Christmas celebration. It is true that an adult cannot experience again the first wonder at sights and sounds that are old to him now. It is true that an adult requires more sophisticated entertainment, perhaps, and yet one need not lose the capacity for new wonder or the ability to enjoy very simple pleasures. The child remains in all of us, and the true adult is not ashamed to keep that child alive. Christmas is for the children of every age. Now, second, Christmas is for the children because it is only by becoming children, in a certain sense, that we can enter the kingdom which Christ came to usher in. Now, we have to be careful not to misunderstand what Jesus meant when he spoke to his disciples about that. I don't believe that he meant that we must be credulous and unquestioning. He was not giving support to those who say we have to believe every old legend literally, or accept without doubt every old doctrine, because that's what childlike faith requires. In the passage we read this morning, Jesus was dealing with the ambition and the contentiousness of his disciples. They were arguing together about who would come first, who would have first rank in the kingdom. Jesus answered them by declaring that those who enter the kingdom must have that quality which is best expressed in by the old-fashioned word lowliness. One has to be willing to stand on the bottom rung of authority and prestige that society accords to a child. On another occasion, when Jesus spoke of entering the kingdom as a child, he evidently had in mind the trust and receptivity with which little children respond to their parents. He was saying that only if we commit our destiny to God with unreserved trust can our future become fully part of that plan which he keeps in store for us. Christmas is for the children because the one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas preached to us a God who seeks a childlike trust and childlike lowliness. Third, Christmas is for the children because the one whose birth we celebrate was for the children. We are all familiar with the famous story about how Jesus' disciples tried to keep young children away and how he insisted that they let the children come to him. We usually tell this story to point out Jesus' welcome of the little children. It's worth noting, too, I think, that this might be the classic case of discrimination against children. That is to say, his disciples wanted to keep the children away, to discriminate between them and those older people who wanted to talk with Jesus. Such discrimination persists, I think, in subtle ways as well as in more flagrant ones. I can recall so well going into a store as a child, not once but many times, and standing there while the person behind the counter waited on one adult after another who came into the shop after I. It wasn't until he'd gotten through all those adults and I was the only person left that then he would turn to me as if he were doing me a great favor. Perhaps children no longer suffer so much from that kind of discrimination. I have the impression that the world has grown a little better in that respect in recent years. It's hard to tell, however, because you see, I'm no longer a small child who is put in that position. More flagrant, of course, are those instances of outright abuse, both physical and mental, to which children are often subjected, both by parents and by institutions. Here again, the factor of social discrimination enters in, because people often assume that they have a right to do things to children that they would not consider doing to adults. The current movement in children's rights sometimes leads to positions that seem to defy common sense. I read somewhere that children of the age of 3 should have the right to vote. Well, I can't go quite that far. Still, the children's rights movement does make us face up to the whole question of how children are treated in our society. No writer in the English-speaking world has done so much to set the tone of the family Christmas celebration as Charles Dickens, the author of The Christmas Carol. His sentimental Christmas tales convey the tenderness and warmth of merry old England for the children at every hearth. Yet it was Dickens, too, who more than any other writer in our language dramatized the anguish and privation suffered by children in his society. From Little Nell to the Marchioness, and from the Artful Dodger to Oliver Twist, the Dickens children suffer not only from individual unkindness, but from unjust social institutions. And there is a lot of evidence around now that in our society, too, such injustice occurs. My wife is something of an expert on this subject, and she tells me that 1 out of 7 children in America live below the official poverty line, and that's a rather low line. She also has listed out 8 rights to which all children are entitled. 1, to be cherished and nourished by a loving family who provide adequate physical care. 2, to receive continuing loving care and respect as unique human beings, growing in trust in themselves and others. 3, to grow in freedom and dignity in a neighborhood of people who accept them with understanding, respect, and friendship. 4, to protection from or treatment for any deprivation or distortion in their emotional, physical, social, and spiritual development. 5, to be equipped for modern life by an adequate education. And 6, to receive preparation for citizenship and parenthood. 7, to have adequate protection before the law so that their best interests are safeguarded. And 8, to be protected from neglect, physical harm, and injury. Christmas is for the children because Jesus was for the children himself. The Sunday school pictures of the gentle Jesus with the children on his lap are not incorrect, but they are incomplete. We should add the picture of Jesus with fire in his eye, attacking the ultimate abuse of children that is spiritual. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. One last observation. If we want to be for the children, as Jesus was for the children, we shall not make the mistake of teaching them that childhood is the goal of life. Rather, we shall encourage children to do what they want to do anyway when we leave them to their own devices, and that is to grow up. I have the feeling today that there are a great many people among us who really don't want to do that. Many people who ought to be young adults are trying to live indefinitely in some sort of limbo, where they are free both from the restraints that are placed on children and from the responsibilities expected of adults. We have a lot of 29 and 31-year-old teenagers floating around among us. I suppose we have some 69-year-old ones, too. Only unlike healthy teenagers, they are not striving to become adults. Along with this trend goes another. One senses that many people who ought to be adults, including many married people, are indifferent toward children. They think of children mainly as a bother. Well, children are a bother, but they are a kind of bother which it is the mark of adulthood to accept. Clearly, we are moving into a period of history where, in a quantitative sense, children will and perhaps should become less of a factor. That is to say, there will be relatively fewer children taking up a smaller portion of the active lives of a smaller number of parents. But I cannot believe that children will become any less important in a qualitative way. If it is true that children are incomplete until they become adults, so it is true that adults are incomplete unless they have that continuing contact with children. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is not so far-fetched when she says that retirement homes ought to be built in conjunction with day nurseries. And indeed, I believe that's precisely what they are planning to do up at the College of St. Scholastica. When people are truly adults, they recognize their own need to love children and to care for children and to be rejuvenated by children. It is precisely when adults are happy with their own maturity that they do most to make children happy in their childhood. The objective of childhood is adulthood. A society that makes childhood itself the goal has gone astray, and in the end only raises a nation of overgrown children who don't care for children. Jesus, who welcomed the children and who saw in them qualities essential to the kingdom, never suggested that people should remain in a childish state. His message was aimed not primarily at children, but at grown men and women. His hope for children was that they should grow like himself in wisdom, stature, and in favor. So then, we come to my last point as to why Christmas is for the children. Christmas is for the children because Christmas is for adults. Christmas celebrates the opportunity given to us to achieve, in the words of Paul, mature humanity to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's for all of us. It's for the elderly person living alone in a one-room apartment. It's for the young single adult. It's for the family man, it's for the working mother, it's for everybody who can share in the joy and good news of this event. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the joy of children in our midst, for their wonder, enthusiasm, humble trust, simple love, and for the hope for the future that they always bring into a darkened world. May we help them to enjoy and to understand the special news of this season. May the appreciation of that news be ours as well. May we celebrate the coming of the Christ, both with childlike delight and with mature faith. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Before we close our service today, I would like to tell you about some of the special events coming up at Pilgrim Congregational Church in the next few days. This afternoon at 5:30, we will have our annual carol sing and potluck supper. Next Sunday, at our regular 10 o'clock service time, we shall hold a family worship with a special event involving the children. Christmas Eve brings two services. A family service at 5 o'clock will bring back again our own Ruth Jacobson, soprano soloist, who last summer won the top award at the Berkshire Music Festival at Tanglewood, Massachusetts. At 11 o'clock, we shall have our traditional candlelight service with an array of choral and instrumental music. You are welcome to share in any of these special celebrations, and always, of course, to come to our regular Sunday morning worship at 10 o'clock. Those services normally are followed by an adult and youth discussion program. Next Sunday's radio sermon has a rather unusual title. It's going to be called Christmas Means Someone You Can Help Pick Out a Hat. Obviously, that's a kind of a fun sermon, but I think it has a serious message underneath. Will you join me now for a closing prayer? We watch for thee, Lord, like those who stand looking for the honored guest, like those who gather in airport waiting rooms, listening for the sound of motors, like those who stand by mailboxes, like those who raise shades in the dawn. We wait and watch for thee and the new birth of thy liberating love into the world, that love that equips us and enables us and gives us courage and wisdom for the living of these days.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power, crown thy angels and church's story. Bring her but to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Though the hosts of the evil round us scorn thy Christ, assail his ways. From the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days.
You have been listening to The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of the Pilgrim Congregational Church, with Dr. Royal F. Shepherd, Jr., Minister. For copies of today's sermon or comments on this program, please contact the Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2310 East 4th Street in Duluth, 55812. Please join us next week at this same time for The Living of These Days.